Welcome to the Power Press Podcast. My name is Mackenzie Bennett, and I'm your host. On this podcast, we share information to empower your podcast. On this episode today, I have Lauren Gombas. She is the host of From Blueprint to Solved, and I'm excited to talk to her. Thanks for being here.
Yeah, thanks for having me. It's a beautiful Monday morning. I'm very excited.
So I don't know where you are, but here in Columbus, Ohio, it is not a beautiful Monday morning.
I'm in Colorado, so it's always sunny. It's always sunny. I lived in Ohio, actually, for 1 year. I was in Kent, and oh my gosh, I was like, where's the sun? Where's the sun? People warned me, but I should have known better.
So I actually grew up in Kent and lived there for 18 years, and I have missed the sun my entire life, basically.
You have. Yeah. So you're probably used to it. You're like, all right, well.
Absolutely. It's kind of upsetting the amount of overcast that happens near Cleveland and Akron, but you know what? You get used to it. But that's not what we're here to talk about. We're here to talk about podcasting. And I have an article that I wanted to talk about before we talk about your show. And that first one is podcasters make for terrible self-promoters.
That's a great title because that's it's very accurate.
It is. Yeah. It very much is. This was a quick read, and it's from Evoterra, and AIM makes a very good, accurate point, as many podcasters are doing this as a hobby, and the act of growing an audience and marketing your show and whatnot, it does not come natural to many people.
To me, it's something that I am continuing to learn. I was actually, when you sent me this article, I was like, oh, great. I'm going to have to talk about how I promote myself. And I'm like, I'm not very good at it yet. So I don't know why she picked me for this specifically. But yeah, I mean, he makes a couple good points too about just like how a lot of podcasters are like, well, like I'm going to find someone who's super engaged in the material and the content I'm going to produce. So I'm going to find podcasters who are doing similar things. And I could see how that would be, it's beneficial to like grow that community, but you're also not really creating a new audience.
No.
So he made a good point about that. Just for me, I am still trying to figure out what are some of the podcasts that my podcast is kind of similar to? What are some of the ones that I can really grow and learn from? But I feel like I've also learned so much from just listening to podcasts where I'm like, there's really nothing similar about our podcast, but I've learned so much from it. Yes. I've learned so much from just listening to like podcasts that maybe are about like, well, I listened to Serial recently, and I feel like that's pretty different from my podcast, but I keep listening. I've listened to How I Built This. That's a good podcast by NPR. I listened to Invisibilia, and I think Invisibilia has helped me out the most because I feel like How I Built This is pretty similar to From Blueprint to Solved in that it's just looking at how people start from the ground up and build something. But Invisibilia, I mean, man, that is a good podcast. The storytelling, the music. I really need to learn more from that.
It all comes together. I was a couple episodes ago, but I was talking with someone about how you actually have to kind of like think outside the box of what you should be doing to grow your audience and make sure that people are really getting to understand what your show is about in your efforts to get people to listen. Because I feel like a lot of the time podcasters are promoting what they think their podcast is. But isn't exactly what people are getting out of said podcast.
Oh, yeah. I have experienced that. Let me tell you. It's really funny because I was interviewing this guy. I was interviewing Living Ink Technologies about using algae ink for commercial printing, right? And I interviewed this guy, and I learned so much from him. It was just crazy. I interviewed the founder of Living Ink Technologies, and like he was like, your podcast is very entrepreneurial. And I was like, wait, what? Like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, if you think about it, everyone that you interview has that entrepreneurial mindset.
Yeah.
Being an entrepreneur is really going out and saying, you know what, I want this to exist in the world. I want to be able to to change the market of something. Mm-hmm. And like the people that I've interviewed have done that, even though they're maybe scientists or they're working with the homeless or they're working with people in medicine, like they've done that. Right. And so it's great also listening to what guests have to say. I think that is a great way to figure out, okay, like what am I actually communicating?
Yeah.
What am I actually communicating? Because it's great to listen to your listeners. That's great. Obviously, like they have great feedback, but I think also your guests have some insight, especially like doing like all the, you know, I like sending my guests like a list of like general topics or questions before. And so they kind of have that, like they have that firsthand experience of interacting not only with me, but with the podcast. And then they also listen to other episodes. Mm-hmm. And so they kind of have like, what is the right word for that?
It's not like viewpoint.
Not viewpoint. Like they are kind of like backstage with you.
Right.
A little bit. And then they go on stage with you. And then being able, they see sort of like, okay, here's the gears turning. This is sort of how this episode starts. And this is the end product for it.
Mm-hmm. I mean, they're there with you doing it, essentially. It's not the same roles, but you're still involved in it together.
Exactly.
It's
you definitely worded it better than I did. I don't know why. I'm like, I'm a podcaster. Come on. What are the right words for this?
Words are difficult, even on a podcast, which seems counterproductive, but it happens. And it brings up the topic of why are you promoting something to people that already do the exact same thing? There's some merit to that, and that, yeah, those people are going to be interested in what you're doing. However, a person is not set aside in a very tiny box like that. There are many facets to every person, and it's obviously I'm very interested in and love podcasts, but that's not the only thing that I like. So assuming that your listeners are the same way is gonna stop you from finding other listeners.
I think the good thing about, I do have to say though, I think the good thing about finding people that are doing kind of like a similar thing is maybe just being able to do like a podcast episode together.
Oh yeah.
But in terms of like promotion and being like, oh, this person is going to be my target audience, that's definitely a mistake. Because you do have to look at a person as being this like well-rounded human being, not, you have to look at them even like as if, even if you don't know exactly who your audience is, if you just create a persona, mm-hmm. and you're like, okay, well, this is Sally who likes going to organic food stores and owns a dachshund. Just being able to build that person out a little bit more and see them three-dimensionally and see like how they, that also helps, I think, helps podcasters figure out how their listeners interact with their podcast. So in that way, they're like, okay, my listener potentially listens to this on a run. How am I going to market this to people who are going running? Or mm-hmm. how am I going to market this to people who are listening to this while they're at work? I think giving that dimensionality also helps figure out, okay, like how do I market to people? If you're just looking at someone in a square box and you're like, well, they're doing exactly the same thing as me, they like podcasts, they are me, then you're kind of discarding a potential audience and a potential group of people.
Also, on a much smaller and less important scale, that's just boring.
Like, right.
to have one ideal of a listener that Sally that goes to Whole Foods or whatever, hoping and imagining that only that type of person listens to your show sometimes is kind of, I feel like you're selling yourself short. Like, yeah, obviously you want a lot of those same types of that same person multiple times to be listening, but you also want someone else off that grid of your demographic to tune in every once in a while because they're able to get something out of it as well.
Yeah. I think it's definitely good to have a couple different like personas. So you're like, okay, well, there's a couple different people just to kind of get something in your head. But of course you're going to have people that aren't.
Oh yeah.
All right, those specific personas, right? I mean, I think there's some things that I listen to or that I do that I'm not the target audience for, which is really interesting. I'm thinking of specifically I was thinking of Verlaine magazine, thinking specifically of like, after just reading that article you sent me, the Ladies Let's Go article.
Yeah.
I've been thinking a lot about some of the things that I look at that are focused on like empowering women or that are geared to women. I'm thinking of Verlaine magazine, and I'm not the target audience for that. I mean, I'm female, yes. And I'm in my 20s, but it's like females in their later 20s who make a lot more money than I do live in New York.
Correct.
And love things that are minimalistic and cookie cutter. And I'm a weirdo.
You don't fit into that.
I like wearing like super bright colors. I don't want to wear cream all the time.
Yes.
So, although I am wearing like a cream sweater right now. So I guess that doesn't, I guess maybe that doesn't help my point.
Well, we'll just, you know, breeze over that fact.
Right. We'll just, like, you'll edit that out, right?
Yeah. This article is only, it's very short. It's to the point of give it a little more work and branch out from what you've been doing potentially. But I thought it was just a great thing to think about from someone who has been doing this for a very long time, because Evoterra has been a podcaster for a very long time. So always good to take advice from that. So that was the first article. And now I want to jump in and talk about From Blueprint to Solved, which, by the way, I love that title. So I don't know where you came up with that, but it was great.
Thanks. It took a long time. I had a list of different names because I wanted to like really encompass something that really stood for being able to build something from the ground up or build an idea from the ground up and solve a problem. And it took me a long time to come up with this name.
I get that. But I mean, I think I appreciate it because there's a lot of podcasts out there that are boring, that are just boring and, you know, don't necessarily have anything creative associated to it. So you're doing a show about being able to solve a problem in a creative way, or, you know, saw some issue or challenge in the world and decided they were going to fix it. So you're interviewing those people, right?
Exactly.
Gotcha.
We're looking at their journey. We're looking at how they decided to dedicate their lives to that, to solve that specific problem. So it does have like that entrepreneurial aspect to it, but then there's also the sort of like emotional, like what are some of the challenges they had to face? What are the challenges they had to overcome?
Mm-hmm.
That's where sort of that blueprint name came out of. What is the blueprint for solving this problem? What are the steps that we've taken? How did we get there? Where do we still need to go?
That's fantastic. So why did you decide you wanted to do a podcast about that topic?
Well, I actually started with a different podcast.
Okay.
So my first podcast, I was a transfer student. I had gone to a couple different universities and never really felt like I found the school that I was supposed to be at. But when I started going to UCD, University of Colorado, Denver, I wanted to join an organization. I wanted to be part of a group. I was like, you know what? College experience is almost over and I don't feel like I've really been part of anything. So I started Pixels to Inches Radio, and that I didn't really have a concrete mission for that podcast. It was more about interviewing creatives about design or about like creative industries. And I ended up leaving that podcast because I didn't get the rights to it, because I was working with Met Media's, which is Metro's sort of like radio news area. Metro and UCD are on the same campus, and they were really kind. They were like, hey, like, I know that you don't go to the same university, but we share a campus, so go ahead and use our equipment. But I wanted something that I could get the rights to and
have it be all yourself. Really,
exactly. Yeah. Exactly. And that podcast had gone from like talking, interviewing people about creative industries to thinking about design thinking and how we can implement that to solve problems. And then that eventually turned into From Blueprint to Solved, and that bled into that.
Gotcha.
So it did take a couple of months to kind of figure that out. But I really believe that it sometimes takes ideas to marinate. Like, we need to put things aside and come back to them and think about them. And I think that's sort of how ideas develop. At least that's how ideas develop for me.
Mm-hmm. I see nothing wrong with that. There's a lot to be said for letting life kind of get involved a little bit and and, you know, letting things evolve as opposed to just, I'm going to get this done in the next 4 days and decide that, exactly. You know, although like, we're just going to do it.
I think sometimes that can be helpful too. I'm actually reading a book called Sprint, and it talks about just some of the ways that they create new products at Google. And they do have this sort of like idea of just working really quickly, doing a sprint basically, and then coming up with a product. But I think it does take, I think marinating on something is great when you're working by yourself and when you're coming up with like an initial idea for something. I think that's great just thinking about it. But I think there's certain situations, maybe with like bigger teams, where it is good to come up with something in 4 or 5 days. But I think that works in certain situations. Mm-hmm. I think that's something I'm still trying to figure out. And I think that's something that I'm trying to answer with this podcast, maybe indirectly, is I want people to listen to it and I want them to be inspired and I want them to think about like, okay, how can I, what are some of the problems in the world? And like, what are some of the steps I could do to move towards that? And I think just listening to people's stories that have accomplished all these amazing things, solved these problems, I think that that helps them think, okay, like what is the time commitment to? I want people to think about that too. So yeah, I don't know what the best is, working on things quickly and coming up with ideas quickly or letting things marinate. I know for me, it's I've always benefited from taking some time to let ideas marinate.
It's going to be different for everyone and for every situation, I feel like. With podcasting, I do think there is some benefits in letting things take a little bit of time. It's very easy to just to, you know, get that adrenaline and that rush and be like, all right, I'm going to get it out. I'm going to do this. And then there's a lot of going back, like once you've started, of being like, all right, so we've started this. Now we have to set some goals and like do some planning and whatnot to actually ensure that things will continue going smoothly and that you won't just burn out and that like that energy you had at the beginning actually wasn't just like, well, it's fun to do this because this is a challenge, and not like, I want to do this because I want to be able to, like you said, motivate and inspire people to actually, you know, listen to these stories of this is happening and then go out and do it themselves type of situation. It's like, there's nothing wrong with getting started very quickly like that, but there's also reality setting in sometimes.
Sure. Well, yeah, podcasting is something that it's time consuming.
Yeah.
It's not necessarily like the most expensive thing you can do. There's like, I mean, I think water skiing's probably more expensive.
I would assume so.
Yeah, I would think so. I mean, I guess it depends on the studio or really like where you're recording. I have a blue Raspberry microphone in a laptop and some headphones, and that's basically an Adobe Audition. And that's you're good. Basically like, I'm good.
Where can people listen to your show?
They can go to iTunes, Spotify. Our website, from blueprinttosolved.com. So those are really the main three places, but of course they could also go to Blueberry as well. Yes,
always.
Always, right? Always.
Yes. The last article that I wanted to talk about with you is called Ladies, Let's Go, Why We Need More Women in Podcasting. And this is actually almost 2 years old. It's from January of 2017, but it still rings true. Of we always are going to need more women in podcasting. And this is saying that in 2013, which was 5 years ago, at the top 100 podcasts, 80% were hosted by men, 10% were men and women, and 10% were only women. I don't know what the statistics are now, but I can still tell you, regardless of not even knowing them, they're still not satisfactory to me.
Yeah, there's definitely more male podcasters. I have to admit, most of the podcasts that I listen to are hosted by men.
Yeah, it's the same thing happens to me a lot. But I think it'd be
statistically, right. You're like, oh, okay. And then you think about it and you're like, wait, what?
Yeah, I know.
But you're like, wait a second. I have to think about it. Probably took you a little while to find. You're like, okay, I need to find someone to interview for these articles. This person's a man. I don't know if this person's a man. This person's a woman. Okay.
Yep. We'll happens ask Lauren to
We'll ask Lauren to talk about these articles, I bet. Actually, most of people I've interviewed have been male. For a while, they were male, and then I finally interviewed a woman, and I was like, why haven't I interviewed a woman? And the same thing, you know, and what's interesting, too, is I finally interviewed someone who's not from the U.S.
Yeah.
And I didn't think about it, but I was like, wait, I've been interviewing mainly men from the U.S. And I absolutely love men, but it's always great to get different perspectives and talk to people from different backgrounds, especially for my podcast where I'm trying to talk to people who are coming up with different solutions. I really want to talk to people who are all over the world from different places because I want it to be a greater dialogue. I want it to be a dialogue with the entire world, not with the U.S. So I finally interviewed someone who's living in Lagos, Nigeria. And that episode is coming out November 20th. Good. And I'm very excited about it. But I mean, yeah, just reading this article, just the other thing that really stood out to me about the article too, was when she was talking about how like female entrepreneurs have trouble asking for money. Mm-hmm. For making money. And, you know, I definitely feel like I have encountered that. And not only with podcasting, but I do a lot of other things. Going back to, you know, talking about the other article and how, like, it's better to remember that people are people and that they're not just in this tiny box.
Yeah.
But, I mean, in every aspect of my life, like, I do also some design work and I also do a lot of writing. And so figuring out how to market, I have to market everything I do. Mm-hmm. Every aspect of everything I do, I have to figure out how to market it. But just asking for money is hard, especially as a podcaster. And it's like, there's so many different avenues for how to make money. There's Patreon, there's affiliate marketing, there's sponsorship, but just finding the right one for your podcast that's challenging. And you know, I've been asking myself, like, why am I scared of trying to make money with this podcast? Because currently I don't make money with From Blueprint to Solved.
Yeah.
I have a Patreon account set up, but I haven't done too much work with it. And I ask, like, why am I so scared of asking people for money if I'm able to reach out to, I contact people out of the blue. Mm-hmm. I say, hey, I have this podcast. Do you want to be on this podcast? Here's the link. But asking people for money, I mean, I could easily email people. I could easily talk to people I know. I could easily email people to say, hey, will you be an affiliate? And for some reason, it's so much scarier to do that than it is to just contact someone and say, hey, you want to be part of my podcast.
Right. It's so much more intimidating when you're just flat out saying, I'm asking for money. I don't know what it is, but it happens.
I think for me, sometimes it's like, am I giving my audience like the best quality podcast? Am I really giving them the best that they would want? Is this something they'd want? Is this something that they deserve? And I think just that for me, it's like, it's just perfectionism. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I'm sure it's different for other people. And I guess it's also one of those things where it's intimidating. It's intimidating. I think there's just feels like there's so much more rejection when money is involved. I don't know.
There's, it's going to feel different for basically everyone until you do it enough that you kind of just, and don't necessarily like it, but you just get over it and you do it. Even if you still don't enjoy it, it's just gonna happen. So they had like four main things. Think about your unique voice, make a plan, brand yourself, and ask for help. And so the asking for help is definitely a hard one. Thinking about your unique voice actually kind of goes back to what we were talking about earlier of like, why, what do you like that you're aware of that you think people are missing, and like, how can you be the one to provide that information to people?
Definitely a big one. That is a really big question. From Blueprint to Solved, I just feel like a lot of times there are podcasts, there are articles, there are videos on like, hey, this person made this thing, but I don't feel like it's necessarily focused always directly towards problems. I have seen a lot of like, there are some videos. I think it's Now This, if I'm remembering correctly. And I don't know why. I think it is Now This that posts videos of like people doing really cool things and coming up with solutions. But in the podcasting world, I've found a lot of just podcasts, like How I Built This. I love How I Built This. It's a great podcast. I don't want to knock on it, but it is a lot about like, here is this person created this empire and it's super cool. But it's not necessarily like, here, this person built this super great thing that actually really benefited other people.
Right.
So for me, like, I love How I Built This. I don't want to, I'm like knocking on it. I'm like, I don't want to knock on it, but I wanted to hear about something that wasn't just like, here's this corporation that makes lots of money, good for them sort of thing. And I think a lot of people aspire to do that, but I think there are so many problems and so many things. And I think we have become so passive, even in like my daily life. I've realized like, I'm not perfect. I've been passive about things. Like, I really care about the environment, but that doesn't like, I don't compost.
Yeah, no,
I'm not a composter. I like, big secret revealed in case you guys didn't know that, like, I don't compost, but yeah, I think that we really need to talk about problem solving. I think that's what's helped us in the past. It's what's going to help us in the future. And us meaning like the entire world, not, you know, not the two of us. Mm-hmm. Hopefully there are more people trying.
We're not
going to
save it by ourselves. That's just not going to happen.
It's not. So just, I really felt like there was a need to continue talking about problem solving and seeing how people problem solve. And you know, and I know talking about, you know, going back to what you said about sort of takeaways and what people really get from our podcast and how that's not exactly what we intend or what we think that they get from our podcast. For me, I'm like, I really hope that people like are like, hey, this podcast makes me really think deeply about this topic and helps me think about like being a problem solver and blah, blah, blah. Like, I'm sure there are people who are like, this sounds interesting. Click.
Yes.
Listen to it. Okay, this is cool. And that's what I do as a listener.
Yeah.
Sometimes
no.
I don't listen. Yeah. Sometimes I'm not like, oh, I want to think super deeply about this episode. No. I'm like, oh, this sounds cool. I listen to half of it. I'm like, okay. I go to a different episode. Okay. This is cool. But it's, you know, I don't know if my podcast is really like as life-changing as I'd like it to be. But I think as long as I'm hoping at least people are curious about the topics and that they get something out of it, even if it's not exactly what I want them to get out of it.
Well, I think people choose things passively like that. It's like, oh, okay, that algae printing thing sounds really cool and really weird and I want to listen to it. But it's the ability to get something out of it other than just the information about this algae printer that makes the podcast worthwhile. It's like, yeah, that cool thing got someone to click on it, but are they going to get like something bigger out of it in general?
Right. And are they going to come back?
Yeah.
What makes people come back? I think a lot of people click on, like, I know that I'm guilty of just like clicking on random podcasts and listening. And I'm always surprised when people are like, yeah, I listen to the same podcast like every week, or like, I listen to the same couple podcasts. Cause that's definitely not the way I listen to podcasts.
It's,
I definitely
not for me
enjoy
either.
Yeah. Yeah. You do also like just going through and clicking on, okay, yes. So we have similar.
Yes.
Similar.
I just like, I have like a couple dozen in my app that I'm just like, all right, I'll listen to this whenever. It's like, and then there are shows that I will listen, I'll download all of the episodes for, or at least the ones that I like. And then I just listen to them when I want to listen to them.
Yeah. We're very different, but no, it's good to know that, like, it's good to know that there are people who are loyal to podcasts.
Yes.
It's good. Yeah. I'm not a loyal podcast person. I sort of cheat on podcasts. So, but no one needs to know that. Right. We'll edit this part out too.
Yes.
No, I'm just kidding.
So what else was there? Okay. Make a plan and brand yourself. And those kind of go together, actually. The make a plan we already kind of talked about earlier, just make a plan that is as long as you want it to be, because that's going to be different for you than it would be for me probably. And like, overall, the idea of making a plan is super helpful, regardless of how complicated you make that.
Making a plan, my favorite part of podcasting. It's something, yes, I think it's great to make a plan. I have had to fine tune and change my podcast, and it's still something that's like, I feel like it's a really living, breathing, moving entity that is still, the plan is still changing. Just, I'm thinking specifically of like when I release episodes, I used to do one every week. And that was, let me tell you, that was hard.
Yeah.
It was hard. It's hard when like you're doing a podcast, but you're also like working or you're doing like you're studying or you're doing other things and committing to that. So I did like, I used to do an interview and then I would do kind of like a recap episode. And then I also tried this format where I would bring on other podcasters and we would talk about previous episodes or previous topics. So I did talk about virtual reality with another podcaster. I just interviewed someone about virtual reality.
Yeah.
And that didn't go as well as I thought it would be, but oh, no. I think it didn't go as well as I thought it would go because like, I think with your podcast, like it works really well talking to people about articles. Like, I think that's perfect. I think that works really well. But the way I tried to encourage this other podcaster about like reading up on this topic. And I sent like, I was like, here's like kind of like a model format. And I like sent too much of that model scanned out. And I felt like maybe we were sticking to that too much. And I wanted it a little bit more organic, but I think that was my planning. But he did do a good job of just like having like a great personality, being really friendly, being really open. And I think it went well in that aspect. Just I think he did a good job of just being like entertaining, charismatic, fun. But I think I did a bad job of just preparing him. I think I gave him too much. And so I think that's also something to keep in mind with podcasting is like, what are you going to send your guests? Are you going to send them too little, too much? And so finding that balance. So I think that also goes into that planning aspect and figuring out, okay, like what's a happy medium? What's Goldilocks want from this?
Mm-hmm.
And moved away from that because I was like, well, you know, I don't know if this is the direction I wanted it to be. And then also those first episodes on just recapping my episode before where I was just talking by myself. I was like, I don't know if this is entertaining or if I enjoy, you know, talking, doing a solo show sort of thing. So I had to switch my plan to doing interviews. I did 15 minutes once a week. And then once a week really was difficult. So then I started doing, you know, once a month and for half an hour. And that's really interesting. I had a guest who was like, maybe you should go back to 15 minutes. And it's funny because like right after I'd switched format, she was like, I think you should do 15 minutes once a week because I don't think you're going to be able to retain any listeners. I was like, I had just changed it. So it's good to get that feedback. It's good to get that advice, see what people think. People are always going to try to change your plan, but I think it's also good to go with like a gut instinct and mm-hmm. then talk to tons of people instead of just one person. Because she did have some good reasoning, but she was like, well, your episode shouldn't be 30 minutes because no one's going to listen to it because it's too long.
Well, okay then.
And I was like, okay, you know, okay. I'm open to feedback. No, it's good. I mean, it's good to listen to feedback, but I was also like, so you're telling me not to do 30 minutes because it's too long.
Yeah.
I mean, it was kind of like I wanted a little bit more of like, what else? Is there other reasons? And then I talked to her a little bit longer and she made some good points. So it's something I'll definitely have to revisit. Like, I do appreciate the guest that I've had on. She was a great person to have. And then the podcast host that I'm mentioning that I had on one of my shows, he's also just so much fun. So I'm really blessed, really lucky to have had them. But I think it's, you know, it's so interesting to learn from the things that go well, that don't go well, and then continue to implement that into the plan, change things up.
Do you have anyone that works on your show with you or like anyone that you can kind of bounce ideas off of and like, you know, take that feedback that you were given and then actually like talk it out with someone?
I don't. So I do talk to people that do listen to my podcast, usually family, friends.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't. And you know, that's something that I've really missed in this experience and this journey is really having someone else to work with. There's so much that goes into a podcast or social media, and I want to be able to write articles and like there's the design and just talking about just branding in that mm-hmm. article that just reminded me when I was reading that, I was like, oh my gosh, I remember rebranding my website so many times so many times. And I'm still like, I still am not happy with it. And being a design, having a design background, I'm just like, maybe this is something, you know, reading that book Sprint, maybe I'm like, maybe I just need to do something, you know, in 5 days and just be like, all right, we're good. We are not going to touch this ever again. But I feel like I keep going back and just changing everything. And so, I mean, it is good to have consistency. It's good to have that brand. It's good to have a concrete plan. But I think I would just encourage people to not be afraid of continuing to adjust.
Oh, definitely.
But at some point I'm like, okay, I feel like it's good to probably settle down into something.
I think it's easier to kind of figure out like what you essentially want it to be when you do get some of that feedback, because yeah, you are fully allowed and should be the one deciding, this is exactly who I want to be reaching out to, and this is who I'm going to be, like, this is what I'm going to be doing it as your brand and whatnot. But then see if that's what you're actually doing. Like, some people might not be perceiving it the way that you think you are, and don't be afraid to make that change if you want to. Because it's a lot of work. It's a lot of work to do by yourself. Like, I mean, I work for a podcast company, so I have tons and tons of people that I can bounce questions and ideas off of. However, as a female, I also want to reach out specifically to a female group sometimes and get their specific feedback of, not just because they also do podcasts or anything, but because they are female. And I'm like, all right, well, that's, you know, someone that I'm trying to appeal to. Why don't I ask them?
Right, right. Yeah. And this article talks about like that sort of that unique voice that women have. Uh-huh. That's so important. And men, of course, also have a unique voice. Everyone does. But it's nice being able to talk to people who maybe have like a similar voice too, and say, okay, like, what do you think about this? But it's also good to talk to people who have a different voice too. So I don't know, everything's a balance. I feel like it's just, I'm just talking about life in general.
I know. I know.
It's like, this is, yeah.
Podcasting easily bleeds into other aspects of your life, because for many people, I mean, this isn't like your job or school or anything. This is like what you're doing as your hobby. And that's, your hobby is a big part of your life.
It is. Yeah. And there's so many things like I've learned from podcasting. I think I've learned that it is difficult to talk, but I also feel like I've learned that it's so easy to say like, or like, okay, or I mean, there's so many words just to stay away from. And I think that has helped me even like in making presentations in other areas of my life, just focusing on what am I communicating? What are the words that I want to eliminate? And I still feel like I'm still saying things that I probably need to cut out to be more direct. Podcasting is about communication. Uh-huh. Life is about communication. So they both go together.
There's many, many things that we can learn from doing a podcast. Even, I mean, I've been doing this for 3 years now, so there's still a lot going on, a lot of learning happening. Okay, that was Ladies Let's Go, Why We Need More Women in Podcasting on Runway Riot. So, okay, we talked about, what was the first article that we talked about? The terrible self-promoters. Because
that's podcaster makes terrible self-promoters. That's hard to say fast.
I know.
Podcasters make terrible self-promoters. Correct. Podcasters make terrible self-promoters. Mm-hmm. Very difficult to say quickly.
That's all right. So, there was that. And then we talked about your show From Blueprint to Solved. And then we wrapped it up with Women in Podcasting. And so, overall, good podcast episode. Thank you, Lauren, for being on the show today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.
We have a PowerPress podcast tip coming up right now, and then I'll see you guys next time. Thanks, everyone.
This is Sean Thorpe from the Blueberry Support Team with this week's PowerPress tip. We first looked at the Destinations tab within PowerPress settings in late 2017. Some changes were recently made to this section of PowerPress, so I thought now would be a good time to revisit destinations. This tab is the place in PowerPress settings where you can link to syndication points like Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Stitcher, and more. Once you add links to the Destinations tab, those links will show up on your website underneath your media player or on your subscribe page, depending on how you have your site set up. Most of what's in the Destinations tab is fairly self-explanatory. The Apple, Blueberry, TuneIn, and Stitcher fields were there the last time we covered destinations. Simply add the URLs to your show's listings on those platforms to the appropriate fields. The Spotify field is new and it works the same way as the other fields mentioned so far. Just add the URL to your show's Spotify listing to this field. A noticeable change is what's happened with Google. There used to be a field here for your show's listing on Google Play Music, but that's been replaced with the URL to your show's listing on the Google Podcasts app. Google Podcasts uses a set protocol for its show URLs, so PowerPress can actually guess the URL to your show's listing in Google Podcasts even before your show has been added to Google Podcasts. By default, PowerPress will add that URL to your settings. If, for whatever reason, you need to use a different Google Podcasts URL, check the Modify box next to the Google Listing URL field and add your preferred URL to the field in place of the one automatically generated by PowerPress. Click the Save Changes button at the bottom of the page to save your Destinations tab settings. Now PowerPress will begin to display links to those syndication points on your website. And that's it for this week's PowerPress tip. If you have any questions about this or anything else in the Blueberry universe, email me, Sean@blueberry.com. Until next time, thanks for listening.